The loss of folk music in the face of popular music is happening worldwide, yet there are still young musicians who are finding their way into the genre. The East Lansing-based band, the Barred Owls, is composed mostly of college students and recent grads. They honor old-time folk music in addition to creating new and fresh songs. I sat down with the group earlier this week to discuss their upcoming album and what it's like to be young in folk. But first, some music off their upcoming debut album, No Tracks. This is a song called Blue House.
My days in the sun have already begun from the first day that I know, and a sunflower so tall it could crawl up the wall right through my open window. Now
based folk group, the Barred Owls. I have the band in studio with me now, two members in front of me on the microphones, and I have Emily Knott and Chris Foster here. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
How did the Barred Owls come to be? You guys are kind of a newish young group.
Yes.
How did that formation take place? Mm-hmm.
Well, three of us, the two fiddlers and myself, scored The Grapes of Wrath when Michigan State University's Department of Theater staged a production of that, doing old-time and folk music that was accurate to the period. And when the play ended, we didn't want to stop making music. So we added some new members who shared our love of folk and of the style of music we played, and now we're still here together playing.
And one of those new members is Chris. How did you get hooked up with this group?
Emily was really kind of the central node of all this. So she's worked with all of us in some capacity. And so I don't actually remember when exactly I met Emily. But yeah, it wasn't too long after that, actually, after Grapes of Wrath ended. And yeah, and so we played music separately. And then later, more than a year ago by now, yeah, she just got us all together for the first time, and the Barred Owls happened.
Now, most of you guys within the group play multiple instruments and have multiple roles doing vocals and stuff. What's it like kind of trying to figure out what works where when you have so many different options?
Chris is quite the multi-instrumentalist. You want to speak to that, Chris?
In the group, I play mandolin, bouzouki, and cello, and a couple others outside of that. But for instrumenting a piece in particular, when somebody brings something new to the group or something like that, I don't know, it really just goes by feel. We hear it and instantly I might think, oh, well, this is a cello piece, and so then I'll start playing cello on that, or, you know, we'll hear banjo or guitar for some of Emily's stuff, and Kirk also plays banjo. And so, yeah, I think it's more intuitive. We just hear it and it fits a certain instrument.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into all these different instruments?
Oh, boy. It started young. my father is a pianist, and so, of course, both of his sons played piano, and we took lessons from him for a while, and I still play piano. And in the fourth grade, I picked up cello through the Early Morning Strings program that was going on in East Lansing Public Schools, which was an amazing program. And I played that through high school, and then in eighth grade, I picked up the mandolin for the first time. And that stuck, and after that, added a couple others that were very similar to mandolin and cello. So.
And it seems like every time we talk to Chris, he's got a new instrument that he's trying. It's really wonderful to have around. Our banjo and washtub bass player Kirk has a great story behind one of his instruments, where a friend found this washtub bass in a dumpster in Wyoming in the 1960s, and then Kirk and his family refurbished it, so now it's found a home in the band. So not only are there stories for most of the instrumentalists, like our fiddlers and Kirk, there's also stories for a lot of the instruments,
and where,
too.
Where they came from. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about folk music, and particularly what role folk music has played in your guys' life and upbringing. So, Emily, why don't you speak to that first?
Well, I grew up a folk baby. I went to Wheatland every year before I could walk. I was going to Wheatland, and Wheatland is a traditional music and arts festival here in Michigan. And folk music, traditional music, is something that we all shared, and that's what brought this band together. So I grew up on the back porch every summer. We'd get out guitars and banjos, and we'd sing all of these songs that come from American roots. And our program that four of us went through at Michigan State University, the Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, has a wonderful cultural immersion program in folk arts in West Virginia. So a lot of us kind of rekindled our love of folk music through that program, too.
And Chris, what about you? You said you started out, you know, being trained in piano. How did you weave your way into folk music?
My introduction to folk probably started when I picked up the mandolin. The single thing that inspired me to pick up the mandolin was Chris Thiele's third solo album, Not All Who Wander Are Lost, mm-hmm. which is just an amazing album. Today, still my favorite album. And yeah, so hearing that just got me into mandolin, and then that kind of broadened my musical horizon and found folk and Celtic, and yeah, and folk was what I played with Emily, and then the band got together.
What makes something folk music versus something else? I know this is a huge
metaphysical. That's a very big question, and it is. Louis Armstrong once said, all music is folk music. When we say folk music, we think of American folk music, so music that grew up with this nation. I consider some of the greatest folk artists to be people that we haven't heard of, that the Smithsonian recorded and kept track of, and also artists that a lot of us have heard of and grew up singing, like Woody Guthrie. So mm-hmm. folk music mm-hmm. translates directly into the music of the people, so that's what we take it as.
How does traditional folk music kind of play into the music that you guys write and record? I mean, is there like mm-hmm. a folk music pattern to follow, or mm-hmm. is it a more creative space or free and open space than that?
That's a good question. I think it's kind of the lifeblood of a lot of what I write, because when I sing a new song, a new folk song, and I'm exposed to the music of it and the lyrics, that's what gets me excited about writing a new song. And that kind of feeds the joy and inspiration that comes from playing folk music, is what feeds writing folk music for me. And while I write a lot of the band's music, everyone writes their own parts. So everyone in our band is a composer. The fiddles write these beautiful harmonies. Kirk writes bass and banjo parts. Everyone writes their vocal harmony parts. And on our new album, we also feature a song composed entirely by Chris as well. But on our album, you'll hear me singing about things that are kind of important and central and dear to my heart. Things like Michigan, hunting Petoskey stones, and also things that are going on in my life. So it's taking this folk music traditional style and giving it material that's current and vital and vibrant.
Chris, talk a little bit about your new album. You guys recently recorded, this is your first album, correct, together?
Yeah, and
talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, that was a very cool experience, and we're very excited to have an album out, or soon to be. But we recorded for 2 days in a studio.
Deep Pink Studio.
Deep Pink Studio, yes. And that went very well. So it took 2 days. How many hours were we in there?
Many.
Many hours, yeah. They recorded mm-hmm. 9 tracks. And, yeah, we spent then a day mixing them. And, yeah, mm-hmm. we have those now.
So. Would you play us something in studio? We have the whole band here in studio.
So. We'd love to.
Yeah.
If you guys could just introduce yourselves and let us know what you're going to play.
We're going to be playing a song called No Tracks today, and I'm Emily Knott. I play banjo and guitar.
I'm Linnea Jemison, and I play fiddle.
I'm Meredith Brown, and I also play fiddle.
I'm Chris Foster, and I play mandolin.
I'm Kirk Mason, and I play banjo and the washtub bass.
You think to tell me who I am, but you don't know me well at all. Hide your head inside your hands and turn your back against the wall. Turn your back against the wall.
Current State on WKAR. That was the Barred Owls there with their song No Tracks off of their new album. Emily Knott and Chris Foster are sitting once again down with me to talk a little bit about the group and their music. So what was the, we talked a little about the experience of recording, and as you mentioned earlier, everyone writes their own parts. Is there any challenge in everyone kind of doing that and then coming together, or do you find that that process works easier than one person doing mm-hmm. everything?
I'm constantly impressed by how well the Owls as musicians work together and build off of each other. And I know, and Chris may feel this way too, that when I write a song and then they all write these beautiful parts to it, I don't even want to play it alone anymore because it doesn't feel like the complete song. So I think they find ways to build off of each other as musicians and play on each other's strengths for harmony and melody in a way that's really amazing. It continues to amaze me.
You guys perform traditional music, you guys do originals, and you also do covers. And I've always loved you guys do a cover of MGMT. Yes. And I love that, not so much because I love the MGMT version, but because, you know, it's such an electric song. Mm-hmm. It's very synthesized and there's so much pop to it. And then when you guys do it, it's a completely different song. How do you guys feel like folk changes music if you change something into a folk song versus mm-hmm. another genre?
Well, first of all, that cover is on our YouTube. So check out our YouTube page, which is available on our website and our Facebook page if you want to see that, because we unfortunately couldn't put it on our album because, of course,
copyright.
You know, copyright. Mm. But we love that song. And I feel like when you cover a song, that's tipping your hat to an artist saying, this is a really well-composed song. And I think that the folk take of it makes it ours, makes it fresh, makes it new.
Folk music is not, I'm doing air quotes here, it's not considered cool music, I guess, I would say, or mainstream music. And you guys are really young, and most people, like, I don't think, would expect you guys to be in a folk band, per se, or, like, to want, you know, no one says, I want to grow up and be a folk star, mm-hmm. except for maybe Emily.
That's right.
But do you think that the perception and kind of accessibility of folk music is changing?
Absolutely. There was a time when a lot of the older traditional music experts, those kind of very wise, now graying people, were wondering, who's going to take over? Where is this music going to go? Is this music going to die? But then starting in, I think as early as the 1960s, there was kind of a revitalization of folk music. And I think that that's been taken to a whole new level of young people who love folk and traditional music and are getting into this scene. And in our opinion, it is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
What about you, Chris? Do you think the perceptions are changing?
Yeah, I think so. I think there will always be, you know, mainstream music, ink, you know, kind of music out there. But folk brings something different than that. And I'm really glad that people are bringing it back, that people mm-hmm. are doing amazing things with it, innovative things, especially, you know, Chris Thiele even. Just amazing what he can do with the mandolin and folk music and stuff. So,
or if you're talking about traditional music, take a look at the band Red Tail Ring from my
Absolutely.
Hometown, Kalamazoo. There's a group, two very young people who are really doing these beautiful modernized renditions of very old traditional songs. So it's really everywhere you look.
So you guys have a show coming up at Max Bar on Saturday the 20th and more shows in the future. What's upcoming for you guys?
We have a show in September, on September 14th, also at Max Bar. And we're also going to be releasing our album in September. If you want more information about our band, our upcoming album, and our shows, we have a Facebook, and that's The Barred Owls. We also have a website, and that's bardowls.com.
Well, Emily and Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
And we have another song off the album to take us out. That was the Barred Owls with their song Red-Haired Boy.